Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey Junk Timers, it's your old pal Michael here. A quick live show announcement, hot off the presses. We have scored ourselves the one and only Campbell Brown. We'll be joining Razor Ray Chamberlain, Rosie and I, along with another guest for our live show on Sunday, September 3, 4 p.m. at Morris House. Tickets can be found at Try Booking. That is literally hot off the presses. He was in the Hawthorn Premiership era. He went with the start-up at the Gold Coast. So much to talk to with Campbell Brown. And also, oh, Razor Ray is going to be hilarious. So get your tickets, try booking now. On with the show. Hello and welcome to the Junk Time NFL Podcast for round 20, 2023. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has lost his job as the doctor at Port Adelaide. It is Adam Rosenbachs.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. After an unbelievable round of results, so many upsets, top three teams all falling, just not getting the job done. But all of that just seemed to fall away when people just focused on the way that I handled a concussion in the showdown on Saturday night. Now, if you didn't see it, Junk Timers, it was I keep saying my players because I worked at Port Adelaide for so long. I feel like they're my kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the fabric of the club. Yeah.
I am. I've been there since the early days, since the start, you know.
Yep. Can the pair. That's what you were saying.
That's what I was saying. You know that. So two players clashed heads. So Lockie Jones and Alir Alir clashed heads, fell to the ground. What appeared to the common man to be unconscious, but not to Dr. Rosie.
No.
I know. I know what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So the boys come off and instantly I get jump straight into action. I know what to do when people think that there's been a concussion. Mm-hmm. I say to him, what's your name? He says, Alir Alir. And I tick that off. Now, sure, that was Lockie Jones who said that. But I was like, it doesn't matter. People, see, the thing is, Michael, I trained at the Medical Institute of Dr. Peter Evans.
Uh-huh.
Now, we don't believe in this thing called concussion. It's
no.
a man-made thing.
Yep.
If you eat well enough, you never get a concussion in your life.
Yep.
They can only prove, if CTE was a real thing, then tell me I've got it now. Why do you have to wait till I'm fucking dead, mate?
For sure. You know, think
it's
about
not a real
that,
thing.
COVID,
it's fallacy.
I mean, it's like that thing where I can literally see in Wayne Jackson Studios right now that you've got a number of those globes that cure COVID.
Well, I do have a lot of those. And, you know, the other thing that we do, when a player, when they say they have concussion, we don't have a concussion protocol down at Alberton. We just put players under a bio light charger.
Uh-huh.
And that, it sucks the concussion out through the skull.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Works a treat.
So, and all of a sudden, the AFL are ringing me going, mate, they shouldn't have been back on the ground. I'm like, fucking sure. Sure, Tex kicked 7 goals on Alir after he was knocked out. But, you know, the good thing is he's not going to remember it. So did it really happen if you don't even know that it existed?
They're actually looking at a fair bit of a punishment by the fact. I think they're saying that they might be hit with about $100,000 fine.
Well, kind of precedent the kind of journos are pointing out is that Richmond copped a $200,000 fine for COVID breaches, you know, when COVID was another fucking fallacy.
Yeah.
When COVID was a massive thing in 2020 and everyone was living in the hub. And, you know, Brooke Cochin went to a day spa. And if a person can't go to a day spa during a plandemic, when can they go?
Now, was that for the day spa or was that for the two dudes at the front of the kebab shop?
You know what? They might have actually had a suspended sentence after the day spa,
yeah, then
and
they
then
brought
that
the hammer down.
That kicked it off. When
can
they
we
went
just reminisce about?
Can a man not get a secondary kebab on a night out after they've been to Hollywood showgirls?
Can we just reminisce briefly about the magic of that story? The fact that these two dudes, Sydney Stack and someone else, broke out of the hub.
Yep.
Went to a strip club.
Yeah.
And how else do you round out a night at a strip club than going into the kebab shop? But also, I think they ordered the kebab off the menu.
Yeah, absolutely. Like they ordered, there was like a special magic kebab or something like that. Yeah. It was like a top of the range kebab. And the thing is, I remember, I think they got into a fight.
Yeah.
And then they had to go in and buy a second kebab. And you know you've had a big night when you've got a secondary kebab in your hands.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. They got into a fight with a local, what do you call him? Vagabond? Vagabond?
Sure.
Yeah? Local, known to the community. Yes. Harmless, but got into an argument with him.
Yeah.
And then in that argument, the kebab, one kebab hit the floor. And so...
Well, I think when you... Cause are you a left or right-handed kebab man, or can you do it both sides of the body?
I'd be a lefty kebab guy.
Yeah, see, I'd be a lefty as well, which would be my jabbing hand. So you'd be like, kebab, kebab. And then you're like, oh, there's nothing left in my hands. I've got to go back in and get another one.
Oh, I'd be fucked then, because I think I've got my left kebab going. I think I'd be pretty bad with my right hand. So I think I'd have to... I think I'd be lefty at all times. So,
yeah, so
I'd
actually have to purposely
drop the kebab before I hit them, or I punch them with the kebab and try and get some of the tzatziki sauce into the eye. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the only way through it. And it was a fantastic story, and it only cost Richmond 200K, so that's not too bad.
What a big weekend of football. But you know what's going to be bigger, Adam?
I'm going to say our live show, Michael, because it is the biggest event in Melbourne on the bye weekend.
Our live show, Sunday, September 3 at 4 p.m. at Morris House, formerly the European Beer Cafe for people who've come before.
Yes.
Tickets can be found at Try Booking. I guess so far, Razor Ray Chamberlain.
And I reckon there's going to be a little bit to ask about, Ray. Dude. You know, I'm quite intrigued as to how much they talk about beforehand, the insufficient intent. You know, when they're like... Do you go, if it's a shanked kick, do you call it? Do you like the theatre of it? Do you love putting the hand up as you call it? And also what sprung back into action on the weekend was dissent and pointing at the scoreboard.
Oh, really?
Cost people a few 50-metre penalties. There was, I think, two of those on Friday night in the Carlton-Collingwood game. So it's going to be great to be able to talk to Razor about that. And don't worry, Junk Timers, of course, we will have two other guests joining us, but iron's in the fire. Fingers in the pies. We're working the phones. We're fucking got Tom Brown all over it. We are going to have massive guests. Just back us in, will ya?
I reckon actually the umpires, I reckon a little part of them does actually like the lack of intent law. Just because I feel like for that rule, when they do the motion, I feel they hold on to it until the very final moment without kind of holding play up to give the motion, just so they can go, I fucking told you, mate. fuck with me and find
well,
out.
Well, it's also it's complete in their interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah, you're reading a person's mind.
Yeah, on them. And, you know, all the other players put their hands out. The crowd's fucking baying for it.
But I do actually like the idea that the rule has changed from deliberate to insufficient attempts. Like, I think they actually a good development by the fact you go, obviously, with deliberate, 99 times out of 100, you're reading people's minds. But now you go insufficient attempt, like... You go, okay, fair enough. That's kind of clear. Yeah.
You know what I reckon the next one they need to change? And it kind of changed after your filthy fucking team won a grand final based on it. But walking the ball through for a rush behind, I reckon if teams are forced to keep it in, you will create a lot more scoring because you'll get that hat kick out from the goal line and then it's anyone's ball.
Okay, so get rid of the rule all up. Like if you...
Well, because now it's like if you're under pressure, you're allowed to take it through. But, you know, the pressure is very fucking... very low at times. You just need someone near you and you're like, oh, I fumbled it through. Whereas if you got to keep it in, Michael, it's game on.
Yeah, okay. So let's walk through that one then. So if I am the back line and I take the ball through... Oh, no, I need to keep in it. So what's my punishment? If I take the ball through, then it's a free kick?
Send off.
Go that far.
Yeah, go that far. Yeah.
Bit rich.
So 10 minutes in, like in ice hockey. So it's like a power play. So the other team have 18 on the team and you have 17. I think it's about time we introduce some more stuff from ice hockey.
I was actually talking to a friend the other day who used to play for Paran under BT. Boy, oh boy, wow, BT. And he said that BT was playing, he was the coach of the team, and BT got sent off. And because of his coach, he couldn't coach from the boundary either. He had to coach from outside the ground.
Oh, I would have loved that. Now, I speak of your filthy grand final performance in 2008. Yep. Oh, yeah, just back on the live show, tickets at trybooking.com. We will be announcing guests in the next week or so, so check out our socials and, yeah, we've got a couple more guests to come. But speaking of 2008, that's obviously one of your most cherished memories, and Buddy Franklin was a huge part of that. And he announced his retirement this week. He's stepping away.
He did. So he had the calf injury in the weekend and decided to pull the pin. Some people have put forward, like, maybe just make him a sub for, like, round the final round and get him come on for, like, 5 minutes. But hell of a journey, man. 1,000 goals. Only 6 people have done that. Quite remarkable. I actually watched the footage earlier today of him kicking that 1,000. And I generally don't think I've seen anything like that ever annals of the game.
Well, it was pretty incredible, and we're probably never going to see it again.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Which is a bit disappointing that we won't see it again. But also, too, like when you think of... his time at Sydney, I reckon, was marred by injury a little bit. But he got to, what, 340-odd, 350-odd games?
We can have a quick look. I think he might have been 350. I think he might have been. Yeah.
So that's a pretty amazing effort for someone who, you know, when he went to Sydney on that 10-year deal, everyone, they scoffed.
They did.
They absolutely scoffed.
They really did. Let me look up Wikipedia right now. He is on 355.
And also, you know who didn't know he was going to retire?
Sorry, bro?
You know who didn't know he was going to retire? Liam Pickering. He had no idea. He didn't know he was going to Sydney. I mean, that blindsided him. So when he found out he was retiring, he was fuck?
Pickers was in a meeting with the football manager, like, trying to sign up another year. Yeah. Then he got word from the media that Buddy's retiring. He's like, what? No. Oh, this is Gary Ablett Jr. all over again.
Oh, didn't ever know he wanted to go to the Gold Coast.
No, my favourite memory of Buddy, there's a few memories. So obviously 08 was massive. Although he didn't have a monster game that day, he kicked 2 goals, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Never went super. He never went massive in a grand final, actually. So he played in what? 4, 5, 6, I think, in the end. Yeah. He never actually had a massive grand final day, but I remember meeting him, let me think, beginning of 2014, maybe? 2013? Would have been 2013, I reckon. And I went to a Hawthorn function and with a friend of the show, Limo, and we got talking to Buddy. And Buddy had put out the T-shirt range. Was it Nina
Pasadena? Pasadena?
Yeah, put out the T-shirt range. And he was very chuffed. And he was saying that they were being sold at Harrods in London.
And, wow.
Yeah, and he said to me and Limo, he's like, oh, do you guys know Harrods in London? And we're like, yeah, Buddy, we do.
Well, you would.
But I think that's my only interaction with him. But obviously enjoyed his wood. And actually, I was actually watching the clip before and like the hurdle over the Collingwood player in the stand of the ground. I was at that game and that was actually quite magical. That actually was that was actually one of those goals where like there was probably a good crowd, 50, 60,000, whatever. But actually one of those goals where everyone watched the replay and then the whole crowd was like, yeah, I'll pay that. Like,
yeah, that was
clapping.
Bad.
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you reckon Cale Hooker just sits back at this week and just goes, for fuck's sake.
For sure, because like within 5 years, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. So that'll be the highlight reel. Yeah. And then he'll be probably the next off the bank of this current generation to be a legend. And so it's like, Cale Hooker, get ready, mate.
The AFL should give him warning just to go, hey, mate, just to let you know, we're announcing Buddy in the Hall of Fame this week. So maybe then, just, you know,
I think it would be better, though. Like, I think the problem with the Cale Hooker thing is that he runs like such a fucking robot, like a weird kind of action man. That if he ran.
Because he's fucking gassed, mate.
Well, yeah, but if he ran like a human, like, he'd go, like, oh, that's not really noticeable. But you're actually watching Buddy running towards that boundary line. And you see this bloke kind of with the big kind of almost like a Tom Cruise kind of robot arm going on. You go like, oh, mate, now I'm distracted from Buddy because I'm watching you being a weirdo.
You know what they should do? Because here, obviously, there should be a statue of Buddy. If not at the MCG, then 100% at the SCG. Then they should have like, because it was a Hawthorn goal, maybe it should be at the G. But Cale Hooker statue like 7 metres behind it. Just so he can take his kids and go, this is how far away I was from him when he kicked that magical goal.
But I do wish Buddy the best. I feel like he wouldn't have gone on for another year. I feel like this is kind of the end. Like,
yeah, I know there was talk about it, but you kind of looked at him this year and he looked like, you know, maybe the skin folds were slightly getting up. He looked just not as engaged and just not able to do what Buddy could do. You know, it's like watching a comedian. You know, it was like watching Daryl Summers at the Logan's. A champion of television, and then just to see him at the end is just, you know, he should have retired a couple of years ago. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Man. Yeah, fuck. There was
But did you think it was weird that Buddy didn't even go to his own retirement announcement? Is that odd? Like,
I do find that weird.
You took $10 million from the game, and sure, you did everything you needed to do for the Sydney Swans, but fuck, just come to that. Like, the press aren't going to grill you about anything. It's a celebration of your career. Just get there, son.
I do find that weird, but also at the same time, I read a little article earlier today that mentioned there were maybe some anxiety issues kind of fronting the press. So I thought, fair enough for that. So no. What jokes have you got, mate? No, I want to hear your jokes. I want to hear what jokes you have set up. But I think that might be that. Actually, that could actually explain the fact why Buddy has been, not really part of the media fabric when he... You know, I probably could have doubled, tripled, quadrupled his salary over the years, you know, doing that kind of stuff. But yes, there were some talk of anxiety issues. But I want to hear any jokes that you have about...
Yeah. I'll see if I can get him for the live show, and then we can mock him in person. I think that'd be great. But what a great career. And just, it's, you know, when you look back and you be like, we were there, and you obviously saw him a lot live.
Yeah.
You know, I was there when he kicked 100 and you dogs wouldn't let Fev do it.
Oh, that's right. Of course. Yeah. No, we put Ruffy back for about 2 minutes in the back half, and Fev then chased harder than he'd ever chased in his entire fucking life. So that's on Brendan Favola. Message to Brendan Favola, you're a fucking dog cunt.
Friend of the show.
Hey, the Baggers, mate.
Mate, I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead. You know what? This is okay, and this is for real now, because we are in August, and this is the first time, legitimately, in 2-3 years, and I've been a comedian for 24, that I have actively had to look at maybe not booking stuff in that first week of September. It's 20 years, and I'm being like, oh, maybe that weekend I might just keep it free.
That is remarkable. So you weren't at the game itself, but...
No, I had a gig that night.
Yeah.
Hughesy was on the gig. So it was a primary school fundraiser I did in Preston, and Hughesy was on. He's like, mate, why are you booking fucking gigs when Carlton are playing? I'm like, mate, it was rolling fixture is what got us.
Yeah, okay. But he was there as well. Like, that'll apply to him as well, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. He chose to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when we start the gig, Collingwood kicked the first two, and then you're like, oh, well, it's just going to be one of those nights, no dramas. Put the phone in the pocket, start the show, and then you come back out. We're even at quarter time. We're in front at half time. And then I was driving back during the third quarter with end of the third quarter, start of the fourth with friend of the show, Limo. He was driving me back, and we went to the Rose in Fitzroy to watch the last quarter.
Yep.
And when Jeremy Howe kicked those two goals, you're just like, oh, not again.
You began to think it, didn't you? Yeah.
Oh, fucking oath. Just
some of us actually began to hope it.
And you're sitting there, and then Charlie Curnow kicked a goal, and you're like, oh, I reckon we can hang on here. And then and then it just comes down to that Lee Matthews formula of going one goal per minute is pretty much, you know, what they can chase down, even though they've probably done better in a couple of their comebacks. And then we hung on. And it was a great win. I was wrapped.
Now, are you believing in never? Like,
No. We've got to get over St Kilda this week. And, you know what? Fucking hell. Did you want to play them back into form or what, you fucking idiots? 9 goals.
Yeah.
St Kilda had kicked like 9 goals in a game.
I know.
And you give up that in the first quarter.
I know. Fucking Ross Lyon was actually angry that they were that attacking. Okay, so let's look at the fixture for next week then, okay? I've got the fixture up. I'm trying to balance two windows at the same time. So let's talk about the 8-point games, okay? So we're getting right near the end of it. The pointy end, if you say. Okay, Bulldogs Richmond on Friday.
So that's huge. That's huge for us. So I think because Carlton have a draw the same as Richmond, a Richmond win would really help Carlton just because their percentage is so much less than ours.
Okay, that's insightful. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So and the doggies are gettable, I reckon, by Richmond. But Richmond don't like going to Marvel. Although has that changed under Andrew McWalter. Has he like sold the Marvel Stadium during the week?
No, for sure, definitely. I know he actually, I heard from a mate, he's got a booking at the Nando's at the front of Marvel before the game. Just going to get people involved, you know, keep them.
Yeah, he's got the team staying at Pepper's next to Marvel Stadium so they can feel like they're down there.
Yeah, it's really kind of on board about how to get them. Eagles and Bombers, doesn't matter.
No, but it does matter because that means Essendon get, one, a win because it's over here, and two, you go a little bit of a percentage boost. So that could, the Doggies wouldn't like that game.
Okay, we got Adelaide and the Suns. Now, where's this fucking sit? So
they're both on 9 wins, and I think the loser of that one, you imagine, would get eliminated. So that is at Adelaide Oval. You'd probably put the Crows in front on that one, but Gold Coast have been playing good footy the last couple of weeks. So and again, another, probably a 12-point game if you want the truth.
And then also Adelaide has like 20 points more percentage than the Suns. But I tell you what, look at this right now. Like, look at the two teams where, Dimmer wasn't forced out, but he quit. But then Suns, obviously Stewie Jew, forced out. And you go, fuck, they're knocking on the door of the eight.
Yeah, I know. They're totally not out of it. And that was a huge win against the Brisbane Lions on the weekend. They came out and absolutely pants them.
Hawthorn Collingwood, doesn't matter. Doesn't affect the arch, apart from, you know. Here we go. Ooh, Geelong Port. Hello.
So that is massive. That's down at Geelong on Saturday night. Yep. So that, again, and that has top four ramifications. And also could get Geelong back in the eight. And Geelong, again, had the draw, same as Carlton. So we're at similar points. I don't know who I want to win out of that. I suppose better for Carlton if Port win, but, you know, they're down two backmen now, so.
I reckon you want Port to win that one by the fact it keeps just Geelong out of the mix for you guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Giants versus Sydney. Oh, a Sydney clash. So, wait a second. I didn't fucking know the Giants were in the eight. When that fucking happened?
They've won seven in a row. They are absolutely flying.
Holy shit. Yeah. I've not seen the Giants in the eight all year.
Yeah.
So there they are. Swans probably, in the Geelong realm where a win is a win, but you got to worry about what happens above you. But fucking hell, Giants can make the top. They can feasibly make the top four.
That's unlikely, unfeasible. But you've lost your mind. All of a sudden, you've gone from didn't know they were in the eight to now they can make the top.
I feel like Giants are going to go three-peat. That's what I think.
Mate, they're playing really good footy.
North Melbourne.
And also, just to point out, they won in Ballarat. They've won at 9 venues this year, which is, I think, a record. But they won in Ballarat, huge.
Are you fucking Bruce McAvaney? Where are you getting stats like this shit?
Mate, I just know shit, mate. I'm fucking doctor at Port Adelaide. I hear things. So North Melbourne, fucking means nothing, but will be great for Melbourne to give themselves probably a percentage boost and probably maybe get themselves at least to third, you would think, and potentially in top two.
Yeah, sure. Port lose. Sure. I mean, I don't know. What do you want to do? Do you want to get to third and go to Port, or do you want to get or Brisbane, or do you just want to have Collingwood at the
G
first week? Yeah, I do want to travel, but, you know, that's an enhance of the gods. But then we have a fucking 78-point game, St Kilda Carlton on that
huge
Sunday Arvo. Holy shit.
Sunday Arvo at Marvel. So that will be an absolute fucking belter. Yeah. And I am not that confident. If we keep playing the way we're playing, we should do okay. But I just, you know that when your team, this happened to you a long time ago, when your team is starting to turn the corner, but you don't quite trust them. You know, like Melbourne supporters, even into their premiership year, you're like, I don't know. And you're like, they're really fucking good, but they can't see it.
Yeah, sure. Well, let me put you at ease.
Okay.
Your team's not really fucking good, and you're hanging in there to get into the eight.
Thank you.
So do not. I mean, you talked earlier about, you know, booking gigs in September and stuff. You can leave the final Saturday in September free.
Oh no, I'm booking that one.
You can book that one up. Don't worry. No stress about that, mate. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, and then the final game is Fremantle Brisbane Lions. Frio. Fucking falling apart, go down to Geelong and win. Yeah. How the fuck, where did he pull that from?
Yeah, up is down, left is right. It's nuts. It's even Freo, they kind of go Freo, they go like, they're in a bit of a rabbit hole. But 1-8 games with a few to go. Like, everyone's kind of done well apart from the bottom three, really.
Yes.
North Melbourne and West Coast and the 2025 premiers.
yeah, not quite, mate. But speaking of, a little bit came out of the Q clash on Saturday night where Took Miller was accused of going the squirrel grip on Dane Zorko during a tackle. So what happened, if you haven't seen it, he kind of grabs him up, like left hand up at the top of the shoulders and then right hand around Zorko's hips and basically has, if you look at his hands, they're pretty full and it's just cock and balls is the best way to describe it.
I'm watching the footage right now. It's actually on repeat by the fact that the way the Wild Water Sports website works. But yeah. I don't know, man. You got to kind of go out of your way to...
I think in a tackle, I don't think it's deliberate. But maybe once you know you've got them, he's gone the twist or the grab or dragged him down by the... But I don't think in that sort of... In that quick motion, I don't think it's premeditated. But I think once you got him, oh boy, you fucking...
And he,
you're like you're trying to wring out a towel. Like you are fucking trying to hurt that man.
And he didn't get any punishment at all, so...
No. But Dane Zorko went on SEN Queensland and wasn't happy about it and was like, oh, so you're allowed to grab testicles now. The AFL have approved that.
I love the fact that I reckon Trout probably has a hotline to SEN Queensland as well. So you can hear Trout. You can hear Trout in Victoria, in New South Wales, in Queensland. That would fucking be magical. Yeah. So I'm actually surprised. Okay, there are a few things I'm surprised by in football. I'm surprised people don't get more knocked to the testicles than in regular play.
Yep, I completely agree with that. They are very exposed in a high contact sport.
Yeah, like I generally don't remember, apart from like one time where I was like, get a knock where you kind of go, oh, that should probably happen. I feel like that, getting knocked in testicles, also knocks to the throat. I feel it don't happen as much as I would imagine.
Yep.
And then also, if you're grabbing someone's balls, like, you know about that, don't you?
It's a different feeling.
You can't feign ignorance. Like, you got to, like...
It's a different feeling. Like, you know, the hip feels slightly different to the testicle.
So I feel like they should really get fined for that kind of stuff. Because we need to wipe it out, Adam. We need to wipe it out of the game.
Oh, you got to protect the testicles. You've always said that.
The testicles are sacrosanct. We've been saying that for a long time. Hey, footballers in real life?
Hit me, man. Hit me.
Got a few this week from Tal. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the Victoria Market early on a Saturday morning when a nondescript man walked past me with a hood, with the hood of a plain black sweatshirt pulled up over his bald head. It was a very cold morning. I caught his eye and gave him the silent morning nod as I hadn't recognised who he was yet. Sorry, it's Telber Reid. None other than former Fitzroy and Geelong player and current Port Adelaide coach Ken Hinckley.
Oh.
He gave me a nod in return and continued his brisk walk, hands in pockets. I'm not sure what he was doing there, but seeing as Port lost to Carlton that afternoon, my bet is some of the fellas running the fruit stands made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
That would be an interesting thing, because I would imagine if he wasn't from Melbourne, he wouldn't end up at the Vic Market. And also... what's he there buying? Like, if it's not... Like, you can't take anything back. You certainly can't take fruit back to South Australia.
Really good point.
They are red hot on that. Yeah, like, you go fucking within 100 metres of that border with a banana, they'll fucking pick you off like it's a demilitarised zone in North South Korea.
I actually remember trying to drive over the border once, like, years and years ago, and, like, not hearing... Like, there was a bloke at the border, like, and kind of not hearing what he wanted. Like, and, yeah, I thought I was going to get shot. Like, yeah.
But what was Kenny there? Was he buying like an Addy Hash t-shirt, a Weedbock t-shirt, you know? Because you can buy clothes down at the Vic Market, of course.
I reckon he was just getting a replacement vape, I reckon.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Knock-off vape, yeah. Like watermelon, myrtle vape, and mint.
Yeah.
Yep.
From Cindy, hey fellas, just listen to this week's episode. And as West Coast supporter, I can confirm that West Coast players do... Oh, here we go. Off the back of the talk about Adam Simpson last week, owning two Hungry Jack's franchises, I can confirm that West Coast players do weekly appearances at Hungry Jack's stores in Perth.
Wow.
Now, I don't live in Perth myself, but I just wonder if it's to coach-own Hungry Jack's stores they appear at, because we did talk about that. Like, does he give, you know, Nick Nat slight, you know, put a little... handshake out slip of pineapple
in there.
Yeah,
a bit of
sweetener. Come down to the Hungry Jack's on the Saturday afternoon to take some photos with the kids. I'm curious about that. We're on to you, Simo. Be very careful, mate.
Because they've been quite a long time sponsor of the Eagles.
They have.
So perhaps it's just like a bit of a deal, like you're a Hungry Jack's, and I'm doing air quotes here, ambassador.
Yeah, sure.
And that way you get a little bit on the fucking side.
Okay. Are we opening up a little wormhole of
I'm just saying,
salary cap manipulation, do you think?
If the Black Ops want to head down there and just see exactly what they're doing when they're down there.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Like, that's why I never trust any players that volunteered for McHappy Day. I'm like, what's your cut?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, sure.
I don't believe you when you're down at Ronald McDonald House. I reckon you're getting money from him.
I got asked to do McHappy Day one day. Years ago.
Did you? And did you do it?
No.
As a star of Skid House?
Yeah, yeah. But no, because I found it fucking weird. But like, I got a letter in the mail saying, do you want to do McHappy Day? From the McHappy Day people.
And I'm like, and you hate children. So you said no.
No, I adore children with all my heart. But I thought it'd be fucking weird for fucking loser to be behind the platform, behind the counter, thinking that anyone would be at all interested in seeing said loser.
No, the best is when you go into something like that and you know people are going to do it and be like, who are you?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck. Are you famous? And you're like, if you have to ask that, the answer is no. So let's just move on, can we?
From Jen, enjoyed a football and real life spotting yesterday, Saturday afternoon, at the Prince Alfred Hotel, Richmond. In brackets, I was doing very well for myself until I purchased a $17 pint. That said hotel, fucking hell, mate. That is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, but it is one of those kind of really sort of done up gastro pubs. So if you get a craft beer, you're heading into the heavy teens.
I mean, we're blaming Ukraine, the war in Ukraine for that one, aren't we?
Yeah.
Spotted Tom Mitchell in a khaki t-shirt with some non-football friends enjoying the anonymity of a largely Wallabies Bledisloe crowd. My Aussie rules-loving group spent some time pondering what he was doing, enjoying a beverage before playing, until we remembered he does not, in fact, play for Hawthorn anymore and had lost to Rosie's boys the night before.
Baggers.
Fair enough to be drowning his sorrows. Thank you, Jen. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yes.
Hey, we're going to hit the road. Don't forget our live show. Tickets can be found at Try Booking September 3, Sunday at 4 p.m. at Morris House. We got junktimeinfopod @gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. And go.
Come on, Baggers!
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.